You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel naming game is not strong.
The third cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome to episode 63 of Titletown Sound. This one is the Adam Timmerman edition of the show. Remember Adam Timmerman?
Oh, yeah. That flat top.
That's great. Man, that'd be great to have him back.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Bopke. I'll be saying things today. Also saying things today is Jeremy Vanderlinden. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm great.
Fantastic. And back this week is our homie, Chris Christofko. Chris, how are you doing, sir?
I've never been a homie before. It's kind of cool.
You're always our homie. Good to have you back this week, and thanks again to Jay for filling in last week. The studio smells a little funny when I got here. I'm not saying it's Jay's fault, but it's not Jeremy's fault. It's not my fault, and Chris wasn't here last week. So, just saying. On this week's edition of the show, we are going to discuss why the Packers' offensive line is better than a group of Ewoks, how the Borg would assimilate the Death Star, and how there will be absolutely no references to a certain movie with a big premiere this weekend. So we got that clear. But first, let's talk about the game that was the Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. And I think the first thing we have to talk about is a little offensive change that took place. We found out shortly before the game Mike McCarthy was going to take back the play calling duties. And Chris, I don't know, you know, what your thoughts are on the offense. To me, if I hadn't known ahead of time that McCarthy was taking over the play calling, I think I could have guessed during the game. It just felt like his style in offense. Would you say that was the case for you or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that they used Randall Cobb, which was encouraging, the way that they stuck with the running game, although I don't know that that's necessarily Mike McCarthy, but it's or at least not one of his signatures. But I felt like, and I've been saying this for a couple of weeks, I thought the offense, and again, it's one game, so we'll see how it goes going forward, but the offense had a rhythm. It had more of the feeling was building upon itself, and it wasn't just, you know, individual plays being called, that there was at least a bit of a plan to how they were called. So I thought it's really encouraging, but I think really what it says is it was bad, and play calling was a large part of the problem. It's not just play calling guy who complains every week. There was a real problem because McCarthy doesn't make changes like this. I don't think he likes personally because of the confrontation it involves, and, you know, he counts these coaches among his friends, and he has to tell them, you know, you're no good at what I had you do. I think he's really slow to make those changes, and I think that indicates how bad the situation really was.
Yeah, people are talking about the changes. It wasn't a big deal. If it happened, it was a big deal. If it happened, there was a reason for it. Aaron Rodgers, one of the first things he said in his press conference after the game was that he didn't feel like play calling was a problem before. It was execution. I think that's Rodgers' attempt to help Tom Clements save face, because look at the production. It was different. It was definitely different. A lot of John Kuhn being used to lead block for Eddie Lacy. A lot of running the football. A lot of using Randall Cobb. We saw a bunch of Randall Cobb this week, as, you know, as if suddenly they realized, hey, we can use this guy. So, yeah, it was definitely a nice change. Anybody who says that it wasn't, wasn't about the play calling, the previous play calling, I don't really know what you're watching.
Well, I think one of the encouraging things is, so this offense is kind of starting over again. They're going to have a different identity with McCarthy calling the plays. So they're going to get better. This was not, you know, this is not the end. This is the beginning of hopefully, you know, them progressing, getting better. I think one of the biggest things that's make a difference, because we've heard this kind of in rumors and discussion, is that the plays weren't getting in fast enough. And I think you're going to see with Rodgers having the time at the line of scrimmage that he's going to be able to make changes, adjustments that he wasn't able to make if the players weren't coming in quick enough. And I heard more than one reporter mention that that was one of the issues. So if the players are coming in quicker and Rodgers can make those decisions and get up to the line and really read things, that's going to make a huge difference. Even, you know, it's even with Jordan Nelson out, he's going to be able to make adjustments and hopefully it'll clean up some of the issues with the offense.
Yeah, they were getting up to the line with like 20 some seconds on the clock. I mean, that's awesome. That wasn't happening all season. That had not been happening. So it's awfully nice to see the offense just clicked. It just seemed to be clicking. And okay, maybe the play calling wasn't necessarily the full issue, and maybe that timing alone was a big problem that we weren't thinking about. Fine, maybe that's the case, but in that scenario, then it's still on the play calling. It's on Tom Clements to get the play in sooner. So maybe it's not the plays as much as it's the execution of getting the plays in and then the execution on the field. You know, maybe Rodgers didn't have the time to read the defense and make the necessary changes that he had to make. You know, I don't know. It could be numerous things. There's so many levels to this that it could be. The point is, we saw Mike McCarthy take over play calling and saw a drastic change in the offense right away.
And something on offense, I'm trying to find a smooth way of saying Eddie Lacy gobbled up yards like he gobbles up cheeseburgers. I'm not finding a good segue to do that, so I'm just putting that out there. But Jeremy, you like cheeseburgers. What stood out about Eddie Lacy? Can you put your finger on what got him going this week and what just let him explode? Was that purely McCarthy or was that something else?
I think it was a couple things. I think Eddie Lacy was very motivated going into this week. And it's about freaking time. First of all, second of all, having a lead blocker is huge. It's huge to bring in John Kuhn and have him play the way that he did. And they used an awful lot of John Kuhn. I'd like to see more of that. I'd obviously like to see some Aaron Ripkowski in that situation.
Of course,
that almost goes without saying. But I figure for those of you out there that don't know, I love Aaron Ripkowski with all my little Grinch heart.
Suck up.
So a little bit of it is McCarthy, but I think Eddie Lacy was really motivated to play well, and I think the offensive line is dying to run block. I really do. I think they want to do a little bit of ground and pound, beat the crap out of the guy in front of you. They're looking for that, and it was a good week for it with the weather the way that it was. You know, it was. They're going to call a lot of runs in this game. They did just that, and Eddie Lacy was on top of his game, at a lead blocker. Things are good.
I think what you saw was Eddie Lacy, like, so Nick Saban was asked, or at least it was reported, that Nick Saban told McCarthy that if you want to motivate him, or if you want to get him back on track, you need to take the game away from him. And I think that's what they did. They took the game away from him in Detroit, and I think it was getting dire. I think they may have had, you know, the proverbial come to Jesus meeting with him after missing a few, which seems like now that we're hearing the full story, wasn't that big of a deal. He was in the same hotel, just kind of like down the hall with parents or something or family. But the point is they said, look, you got to take this seriously. And maybe it kind of hit home. Maybe finally realized, you know, I've got to act differently. Because you certainly saw the production. You saw he was back on. He looked like the old Eddie Lacy. The only concern I have is when you have a player that you have to motivate, that you have to take out of the game, motivate, how motivated is he going to stay? You know, and not to make the easy fat joke again, but how motivated is he going to be over the offseason, you know, when there's no one there to force him to work out? You know, we could see 300-pound Eddie Lacy next training camp. That's the kind of thing that you worry about when he's not motivated already, that he needs, you know, at this level that he needs motivation, that he needs encouragement to kind of give it his all. What's going to happen in the future? I'm not convinced that this is permanent, but for this year, I think we've got Eddie Lacy back for the stretch run, and that's what matters right now.
So Eddie Lacy seems to be a guy that struggles with internal motivation. So the Packers need to find a way to bring external motivation. So I would say, hey buddy, if you come into training camp over this weight next year, you're going to be waiting to even practice until you drop your weight. I wouldn't let him come in fat. It's just got to be this. You're paying him a lot of money. There has to be this thing where, like, dude, you're not going to play. We're just not going to play you if you can't in the offseason be responsible.
The problem with that is I don't know. I'm not convinced that he doesn't think that somebody else will sign him after a year. That, you know, yeah, I guess taking the game away from him worked this time, but I get concerned about the future because it's not always going to work, or at least it doesn't always have to. When you have somebody that's not motivated, that's an attitude. It's hard to change an attitude. You can coach a player and teach them skill or teach them technique, but motivation, that's something that usually is ingrained or it's not.
Yeah, maybe you're right, but at the same time, there's the factor of how smart is he really? So maybe he does think, fine, somebody will sign me after next year, but that's kind of a stupid way of thinking. The NFL has let decent players just sit because they've proven to not be trustworthy, or we've watched guys be put on team after team and be embarrassed, like Trent Richardson, and that's a different situation. That guy's vision is just, like, non-existent. He is amazing. Anyways, the point is, fine, get fat, sit, you know, the Packers sit you next year and you go with somebody else because they're
well, they're not going to sit him though. They're not. What are they going
to
do?
They'd have to though. This is what I'm saying. Like, use the idea that will take the game away from you as your motivation. So I'm not saying that this is what they will do. I'm saying if I'm the coach, if I'm Mike McCarthy, this is how I do it. I say, look, if you want to play, you better be this weight.
But you know what? We're focusing on the negative of the future, but it was good to see him this week. I think he looked great. I think he'll be great for the rest of the year. I mean, he was running like me to a buffet this weekend. So yeah. Hopefully we'll see that more.
Thank you for bringing that back to the positive, because it does need to be, you know, like,
yeah, we can. It's easy to get very negative about the future, but he's going to look good for the rest of the year. I'm convinced of that.
Maybe we're way wrong, and maybe there won't be a problem at all. You know, maybe it only takes one shot to Eddie Lacy for him to realize, oh, this is a serious thing. And then
what the hell are we going to complain about if there's nothing wrong, though? You know,
you're right. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
We'll invent an issue.
Right.
I still think the ultimate answer here that would be just really simple, because of course I have all the answers, is you take Eddie Lacy's helmet, you attach a stick to it pointing forward, attach a rope to the end of the stick, and attach the other end of a rope to a stake. And just let it dangle right in front of him.
That would do it.
Problem solved. Switching to the defensive side of the ball, here's a big manly man, here's a big hunk of meat, Mike Daniels, playing well all season. And we were all talking, like, we got to re-sign this guy. He's been too doggone good. And he got his contract extension. Chris, I ask you, simply put, how elated are you that Mike Daniels has signed an extension?
I'm extremely elated. I'm also shocked. It's just not the way Ted does things. I'm surprised. And I'm honestly surprised that Mike Daniels would sign the contract this late in the year with everything he's done this year. I think he took a pay cut to remain on the Packers. If he goes on the open market, you know, we're talking three more games plus playoffs. He goes on the open market, I think he's going to make a lot more money. There's just not as many defensive players as dynamic as him available out there.
Mike Daniels is signed with the Green Bay Packers until the year 2020, which seems like it's so far away because it's 2020, but
it really does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 4 years, $41 million, just over $1 million a year. That's average salary would be ten, just over ten. $12 million.
I think it's a steal.
A $12 million signing bonus. When you get that check, $12 million, how do you celebrate? I mean, I feel like you have to a little, right? That's a crap ton of money.
I have a guess how Dayton Jones would celebrate, but.
Well, I'd hope he'd go to Colorado for that, just to keep at least legal and, you know, safe.
Well, we know how Eddie Lacy celebrate cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers. Lots of, yeah. Like a mountain of cheeseburgers. How many cheeseburgers would $12 million buy? Just about 12.
I'd like to think he would go to Red Lobster with that kind of money, but that's just...
No. You've got it all wrong. He would fill like a kiddie pool with cheeseburgers. Just jump in and roll around like, you know... At least that's what I would do. That's what I would, you know, like the duck, what's the duck's name from DuckTales? Diving into his money. It would be like that with cheeseburgers.
Scrooge.
Yeah, Scrooge McDuck. Oh, gosh.
That's the last time we have a buffet here at the studios.
But I was really surprised that Ted did it during the year. It's kind of the way he does things. I'm surprised Daniels did it because it doesn't – I don't know if it makes the most financial sense. You've made it through this far in the season without an injury. You know, now the gamble is less and the profit is more. But, hell, I'm happy it happened, so I'm not going to complain.
Mike Daniels also has been a guy who's played at a high level every year. You know, like what we're seeing this year is just a continuation of what we've seen. So – I don't expect that to stop because he got his contract, one. And two, I think with a guy like Daniels, he's just playing so well and he does it so consistently that it makes sense for Ted Thompson to do it right now. Like, he may be a little out of character, but I'm glad he did it. I'm glad we're not waiting until – you know that feeling, because we felt it before. You go into the offseason like, are they going to sign Randall Cobb or, you know, like put in player X, you know, and just – this terrible feeling of like that might not happen, and every day you get closer to doomsday. We don't have to do that this year. It's done. The deal that needed to be done is done. So Packer fans can celebrate. And not only that, Jared Aberdaris also signed a contract extension this year, so he's not going to have to deal with a free agency, which I know is a relief to all of you out there. Maybe just like Badger fans, but whatever.
All right. One other thing I want to talk about on defense, Demarius Randall. Sam Shields, of course, had to go out with injury because, you know, that's his thing. But Demarius Randall stepping up. And Jeremy, overall, your thoughts on Demarius Randall against Dez Bryant? I know all too well because I had him in fantasy this week. But Dez Bryant, one catch, 9 yards. Overall, pretty darn solid job this week by Shields and Randall, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's absolutely. Well, you know, I think it's a little bit of Dez Bryant didn't play very well, and Demarius Randall, you know, did his job. And that's all you should be asking for a rookie corner to do against a guy like Dez Bryant. Just do your job. Please do your job. And he did it. So, you know, it's definitely worth being excited about. It's been an up and down season. You know, he's a rookie corner. It's going to be up and down. But when he's up, those highs are so high that there's a lot to be excited about with Demarius Randall, and this week is just it's more of that, more.
And with corners, and you're talking about the elite shutdown corners, of which there are very few, every corner is up and down. But he's been playing like he's not a rookie. He's not afraid. He's not he has a short memory. All these things are very good. And we're going to have a very good secondary for several years to come, and that's encouraging,
right?
You know, because we haven't always had it. And I think that – You lost nothing with Tremont Williams and Devon House leaving because of the draft picks. You lost nothing. I didn't expect to say that. I didn't expect to say that Casey Hayward would be an expendable part of this defensive backfield. You know, I just didn't. I thought he had to play well. He doesn't. You know, he's not as necessary. You know, when Shields is healthy. So I think it's encouraging for the future of the defense, definitely. And I think Ted, you know, really got this one right.
Indeed. We don't usually talk special teams, but we have to talk about Jeff Janis, the best thing ever in the world. He was the anti-Lucky Whitehead. And Jeremy, if I can dare say this to you, I don't think even the Ripper could not have done as good a job on special teams this past week as Jeff Janis did. Fair to say?
Shut your filthy, dirty mouth. But you're right.
Well,
You're right. You're totally. I mean, that what we saw from Jeff Janis was if he can do that again and continue on with those things, that's great. But that was like past Jarrett Bush special teams quality. Okay, that was some fantastic special teams play, worth being excited about. Everybody, your love for Jeff Janis makes sense only when talking about special teams. So, I don't know. I don't have much more to say other than.
So I watched him. I was impressed. I was impressed because he was also smart on special teams. The one, and I forget which one it was, but one of the times that he obliterated Lucky Whitehead, he slowed himself so as to not arrive too early to draw a penalty, which I don't know that the Jeff Janis of 5-6 weeks ago would have done that, but I was encouraged to see that. And Mick, he's just fast. He's just so damn fast.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you saw the guy responsible for blocking him. By the time he turned around to get to him, Janis was running by him. Like, and that happened each time. That wasn't just a one-time circumstance. He was so much faster than that guy. He was running by him by the time the guy was trying to set up to block. He's freaking ridiculously fast. And yes, that has been what everybody's been saying. Get him on offense. He's so fast. Just let him run fly routes. But we now can see a play where it's useful. And it is fantastic. It's really awesome.
All right, quick off the cuff question here. You can have one guy on special teams. Which is it going to be? Jeff Janis, Jarrett Bush, Travis Jervie, Chris?
It's got to be Prince Janis. Come on.
Absolutely correct, Jeremy.
For all the hate that I've given Jeff Janis this year. It's only been one game, but I'm taking Janis anyways. So
good for you. All right.
There you go. Jeffrey Janis.
All right. Well, you guys are having a little drink of the Jeff Janis Kool-Aid. I'm going to read our sponsor.
No. Let's slow down. Nobody's drinking any Jeff Janis Kool-Aid, okay? I he's good on special teams, but it's still.
Oh, that's right. That's right. There's no Kool-Aid.
There is no Kool-Aid.
There's no Kool-Aid. You keep telling yourself that. All right. On that note, let's talk about our sponsor. Sir, Titletown Sound is brought to you by the Law Office of Christopher Schultz. Christopher specializes in traffic and municipal violations, wills, and estate planning. If you're in need of help, Chris has your back. Call 920-252-0692. The number again, area code 920-252-0692. And on that note, Jeremy, you've had good experience there. You usually say something.
Yes, well, I feel like I've said an awful lot. Chris, he's helped me out. I had a problem with a speeding ticket, and he's taking care of it, and I don't even have to worry about it. It's a done deal.
Indeed. It's like Jeff Janis on special teams. It's a done deal.
That's right. That is correct.
There you go.
Some say Chris is the Jeff Janis of practicing law, but those people are idiots.
Fair enough. Time for pick three, where we get to pick three Cowboys off the Dallas roster if we wanted to add them to the Packer roster. I had a tough time picking my three. I know that for sure. Jeremy, you always have a tough time counting to three, but who are your three Cowboys?
You're such a jerk. Even though Dez Bryant had a lackluster outing, I would love his talent. And I don't like his sideline antics all the time, but I would love a talent like that at wide receiver. That would be fantastic. My second pick is going to be Lael Collins. I'm sure I'm not going to be the only one to pick him, but I feel like I'm not crazy when I say this, but I feel like he outran Ha Ha Clinton Dix. Was I wrong in seeing that? Because that was ridiculous. But he had a great game. Not only did he outrun Ha Ha Clinton Dix, but he was just destroying people the whole game. So Lael Collins is a must, and I had my third one, but here I am again struggling to count to three. Rolando McClain, I wanted him in the offseason. He was a late signing to the Cowboys. I don't even know why they let him go out in the free agency since he's a starter for them, but especially to sit there as long as he did. I thought the Packers might even take a crack at him, and they didn't. So Rolando McClain.
All right, Chris, who are your three?
I'll take Lael Collins first. I think that's a great pick. He's the embarrassment of riches that the Cowboys have on the offensive line is just almost unfair. Second, I know he's 140 years old. but I have the win now mentality. I want Jason Witten because it also doesn't really matter who I pick. No one's ever going to follow what I say, but I'd love to say still tight end, such a need. I'm not going to take Dez Bryant because I just don't think I can handle that many drops. You know, it's rough. But I will take for my third pick. I know that he's going to surprise you guys, but I'm going to take Greg Hardy. And the reason I'm going to take him is because I want to cut him because he is the scum of the earth.
No, it's a surprise, but I love the reason you're taking him. I think it's
hilarious. I think that's fair. My first guy is actually going to be Lucky Whitehead, the wide receiver, because... I mean, I know Jeff Janis was wrecking him and all, but I mean, apparently Whitehead's supposed to be a good return guy and fast, blah, blah, blah. Not as good as Janis, whatever, but he's my first pick. Collins is going to be my – I'm not sure what that sound was. Collins will be my second pick.
That was me. That was me opening a beer. Sorry.
All right. Going to pour one out for Lucky Whitehead, I guess. The wrecking he took. Number three on my list is actually going to be Gavin Escobar, the tight end, because I wrote about him in Player to Player last week. Thinking that he hasn't done that much all season, it would just figure if he had a really big week for no apparent reason whatsoever. He didn't, and I'm grateful. So he's my number three. That was F logic. It is time now. Speaking of logic, it's time to go to Twitter questions, where we have four questions from the Twitter machine thing, whatever it's called. And our first one comes from... Let's go with at McCready Sam. He says, I'd love to hear you guys' opinion on the pack. Ever playing a London game for us UK folks? And Jeremy, I'll throw that one to you first. What do you think about the Packers going over playing in London?
I don't mind it as long as it's an away game. As long as they're the away team and they're not facing a home game, which to me, I don't believe that that's ever going to happen. Unless they're playing so poorly for so long. I don't ever see them going over there and losing a home game, losing a game at Lambeau Field to go over to London. But if they go as the away team, I'm good with that.
I actually hope – I know they're eventually going to have to do it. I hope they wait a while because I can't afford to go to London right now. And it would be an amazing reason to go. I think that – well, here's the problem. You say as long as it's not a home game. I think it's almost less likely to be an away game because teams don't want to give up the Packers game at home because Packers fans travel so well, they'll sell it out if they don't normally sell out. I think the NFL will get every team through there in the next few years. They keep expanding how many games they play. You know, it's like by 2017, I think they're playing every game in London. So eventually they'll play over there. I hope they do because I've interacted with some of the UK Packers fans and it's really cool that, how passionate they are. These guys are up till like 5-6 in the morning to watch primetime games. That's amazing. Like, I don't know. And then they go to work the next day. That part I can't imagine, but these guys take off work on Tuesday so that they can watch Monday Night Football when the Packers are on. God bless them. They deserve a game.
Sam is also one of those people staying up till 5 in the morning to watch football. So thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on Twitter and being a dedicated fan to the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, we should talk BritCom sometime, Sam, because I'm a big BritCom guy. But I would love for London to be able to see the Packers up close and in person. But as long as it's a road game. But I'm not exactly sure how the NFL determines who's going to lose the home game. I thought it had something to do with like how well you sell, you know, tickets at your home game. Because I think Jacksonville has lost roughly half of their home games over the last 5 years because they keep going to London so much. I could be slightly off on that. You know, hashtag
it's a rough estimate. Man.
It's rough, yeah. Well, next year they're starting to do Mexico games, and, you know, it's just going to continue on from there. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a game out of the country every week, you know, in the next, like, 20 years. I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that came along, where instead of giving the UK a team, they're just going to have, like, games that travel outside of the country every week.
I think the UK will get a team.
I think the Packers will be one of the last teams to go over. I think they'll be one of the last teams to do Hard Knocks. They're just as much as fans around the world want more access to the Green Bay Packers, I feel like as long as Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy are around, it's going to be difficult to get those things done.
I have to say, I would be in favor of the Packers going somewhere like really exotic, you know, like Canada. That would be awesome. I'd be on board with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, our next Twitter question is from at JGPeck41. He says, Finley and Montgomery, the last two Packers to wear 88, is it cursed? Should it stop being issued? Chris, is this too spooky for you to answer, or can you handle it?
I think I can handle it. It's so discouraging that Ty Montgomery apparently had another setback this week. You wonder if he's going to play another game this year. You know, if it was a setback, it's a high ankle sprain. It's very likely that he's not, which leaves this receiving core very thin. And you know, it's upsetting because he looked so good at times, and it was encouraging to see him at the beginning of the year. But is it cursed? No, it's not cursed. At least I hope not. We'll see. We'll see the next time a player gets 8 if they're immediately injured, whether or not it's cursed. But I'm disappointed with the way Montgomery's season has progressed.
Yeah, I'm super disappointed. I was excited about the numbers that he had put up, and I thought he was going to actually have a really good season. He was on track for some really good numbers. So, yeah, it's disappointing. I feel like he might end up on IR, which would be a huge disappointment, which obviously goes without saying. But, no, I don't think it's cursed just because I don't want it to be cursed, because I actually really like the number 88. It's one of my favorite numbers for a wide receiver / tight end. So that would bum me out if it was a cursed number and nobody ever got to wear it and be amazing. So, you know. Let's just say no.
All right. We have a couple questions from at JKSub20, our homie James. What up, James? You're a homie of ours, too. This one I think I have to throw to Jeremy first. If Aaron Ripkowski was a breakfast cereal, what would he be? Feel free to extrapolate that to a Prince Janis as well, to Prince Janis. And he says smooches at the end. So smooches, Jeremy.
That was nice.
And if Rakowski was a breakfast cereal, what would he be?
He would be Kabooms. Do you guys remember Kabooms?
No.
No? Okay, so Kabooms was a cereal. It was very much like Lucky Charms. It had marshmallows in it, but he'd be Kabooms because he brings the wood, man. He's you know, watch him as a lead blocker. It's like they should play a Kaboom sound effect every time he makes contact. And as far as Jeff Janis goes, if you're talking just wide receiver and have to, you know, give him a cereal based on that, he would be Lucky Charms without the marshmallows.
What?
Severely disappointing.
I see.
So what cereal would Aaron Ripkowski be? Well, since he's possibly the greatest fullback to ever play for the Green and Gold, he would be the greatest cereal, and there is the greatest cereal on this planet Earth. It's hard to find, but I've never talked to anyone who has had this cereal who has not agreed that it is the greatest, and that is Rice Krispie Treats cereal.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
Have you had it?
Oh yeah, it's magical.
Amazing. It really is. Rice
Krispie Treats. It's fantastic.
It's amazing, and there's one store around us. Has it only one? I know my brother once ordered it off of Amazon. It's the most amazing cereal ever created. I'm wondering why they don't sell it in wide release, because they probably double their sales.
I love it. That's great. No, that's
like I seriously wish I could go to the store right now and buy a box of that damn stuff.
I haven't had it in years. I haven't had it since I was a kid. Now I'm going to be looking
it's
for
fantastic.
It.
It's fantastic. It's like the surge of breakfast cereals.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Holy so crap. When you say it, I'm like, I need. Find this. I went on like a mission. Like I was on a mission to find Surge. And now that it's everywhere, I'm completely over it. But, well, that's not true. I drank 6 of them the last 2 days. But now I have a new mission. I have to go out and find Rice Krispie Treats cereal. So Woodman's here to come.
When you were talking about the greatest cereal ever, I thought you were going to talk about Waffle Crisp.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a solid cereal.
That is a solid cereal. I'm tempted to say that for Jeff Janis personally. I'm also tempted to go with Captain Crunch again based on his performance.
Why? Because it's like razor blades in your mouth, and that's.
All right, I would go for the name, not so much the actual cereal.
I got a quick breakfast cereal story because it has nothing to do with the Packers, but oh well. So when I was little, my dad would buy us some sugar cereals, but not many. And where he drew the line, like his moral line, was at Cookie Crisp, because it had cookie in the name. He's like, I'm not giving you cookie for breakfast. I'm like, Dad, you bought me Lucky Charms. You give me marshmallows for breakfast. He's like, no, I'm not giving you cookies. So I was pissed because I wanted Cookie Crisp. They looked amazing with that little burglar and everything, you know. So, and I'm not lying, the first thing I did when I got to college, my show of defiance and independence, was I went to the grocery store and bought myself two boxes of Cookie Crisp. Suck it, Dad.
I thought you were going to end that with, and I hated every bite.
Oh, no. Oh, it was the most glorious thing I've ever eaten.
Oh, God.
I think the only way that could be better is if you called him as you were taking the first bite of the Cookie Crisp.
Well, Dad still paid many expenses at the time, so I won't. Exactly, going to rub his nose in it.
All right. Well, you didn't pick a cereal for Jeff Janis, at least not. Oh. So I need to hear.
Jeff Janis, as a wide receiver.
Yep.
All right, he's tricks because you're like, oh look, it's fruity. It looks amazing. It's going to be so good, and then you have it. You're like, eh.
Yep. That's awesome. That's it.
That's how you feel about it. All right. I guess. For me, I kind of mentioned Janis already. I've got one I think that's ideal for Aaron Ripkowski. Have you guys seen the Saturday Night Live sketch for Quarry cereal? I feel like it's perfect for him. Alrighty. That went over surprisingly well. All right. Last Twitter question. Also from James, Eddie Lacy needs 400 yards in the next three games to get 1,000. More likely that or Janis gets a touchdown. Jeremy.
Oh, it's more likely that Eddie Lacy gets the yards.
You're horribly wrong, Chris.
Huh, now this could be special teams touchdown as well?
It could be. He just said Janis gets a touchdown. Actually, he said Janis gears a touchdown, but I think that should be game.
Oh, gears. That changes everything. I'm going to go Janis. I think he's going to break one.
Darn two. He is. All right. So that's our Twitter / serial reviews portion of the show. And I think it's time to move on to the Oakland Raiders. What do you say?
Yeah,
absolutely. Anybody know anything about the Oakland Raiders offensively?
I have so much knowledge, but I don't want to ruin it for you guys. You know,
okay,
so.
Fair enough. offensively, Derek Carr at quarterback, Latavius Murray at running back. Wide receivers are all right. Amari Cooper actually having a pretty darn good campaign. 920 receiving yards on the season already. Michael Crabtree, 7 touchdowns. They got a decent offense together, 20th in yards, 26th in rushing, 13th in pass yards, though, and middle of the league in points scored. So, Jeremy, I'll throw it to you first. Raiders offense, anything jump out at you?
I love where the Raiders are going. It's one of those teams that you cheer for and you'd like to see them to start to succeed. There's so much history there. I love where they're at. It's got to be really exciting for Raiders fans, but I still believe that they're a few years away from being a team that will compete with elite teams. And I still believe that the Packers are an elite team. So as far as their offense goes, Amari Cooper is having a really good season. As long as Sam Shields is healthy, though, I feel good about that. Charles Woodson, he's got 5 picks for the year. Excuse me, I'm skipping the defense because I saw Woodson's face and got excited. So let me get back to the offense, though. 878 yards for Murray. I mean, Murray's not a bad back. I mean, there's a lot of good things happening in Oakland for their offense. And with Derek Carr, so he's having a great second season. He's got 28 touchdowns for the year. So I'm not too concerned just because the defense has played so well and they've played pretty well against some really good teams. But at the same time, as always, the Tur cheeseburger could come back. So, who knows what's going to happen. But this offense, I mean, they have some pieces in place. I think they need a few more. But there's definitely – let's just put it this way. It could be a really fun game to watch.
Oh, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I think the best word for this – offense or the best idea is they're ascending. They're definitely getting better. Derek Carr's gonna be in this league and gonna be successful for a long time. and Amari Cooper is pretty damn good. I don't think they're a complete offense yet. I don't think they're quite ready, but they're getting there. But they're kind of one of those offenses that has puncher's chance almost in any game, just because they can show flashes of brilliance and play very well for brief periods of time. So there's certainly nothing to be, you know, to be laughed at or scoffed at. They're going to be very good. It's going to be a competitive game, I think.
Well, you know, they've got Michael Crabtree as well.
Yeah.
He's having a good season for Michael Crabtree. Nothing we've seen before. So, you know, they have a nice complimentary piece to Amari Cooper. But I agree. I think there are a few pieces away. They have Clive Walford at tight end, which I liked him coming out of college last year. I was actually hopeful that he would end up in Green Bay, but it's not like he's done anything this season to write home about. Nothing to be too concerned about at tight end. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think they're just a few pieces away from being a team that competes consistently with good defenses.
All right. I was talking actually player to player earlier today, and looking at the Raiders defense, I found there's not a heck of a lot to talk about. Our good buddy Charles Woodson, of course, is in the secondary there. But I was looking at this roster, and Malcolm Smith is the only other name that jumps out because he is so far ahead of everybody else in tackle. That I think if you block Malcolm Smith, they're not going to do much else.
Well,
we do have to mention Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I was going to say, hello, we're bearing the lead there.
So he's got 14 sacks in the year, but five of them came last week. But he is a very good linebacker. I mean, we gotta give him his props. It's not just a 1 week thing. But outside of that, I gotta say that defensive line's not looking very good to me. They're not generally well ranked in any of the stats I'm looking at. They can defend the run a little bit. They're allowing 101 yards on the ground per game. All their other numbers suck. So, I don't know, Chris, anything else defensively? Right. Khalil Mack can play the role of like five players in one or something.
Up front, this defense is very strong, or at least fairly strong, but their secondary, with the exception of Charles Woodson, is pretty damn wretched. And I think there's one Packer in particular who's going to have a big day. The Raiders, just like the Packers, have a soft underbelly, and you could see Richard Rodgers go crazy. It's a matter of will Aaron Rodgers have the time behind the line to make something happen, because if he can get a couple seconds, that secondary will give up some yards.
Yeah, their defense it's got a couple pieces as well. It's very similar to their offense, but like you said, their secondary is just, it's not there. It's not great. So what does this mean for the Packers? Well, I don't know. The offense is now looking for their new identity, as Chris mentioned earlier. So this is kind of where there's a big question mark for, I think, everyone, where, you know, fine, we can talk about what the Raiders' defense has been, but the question is, what's the Packers' offense going to be? And so it's hard to make a comparison and say, like, this is how the Packers match up well, because where are they going to be successful this week? We haven't seen them be consistently successful anywhere. So I guess it's just one of these wait-and-see things. I love Charles Woodson. It's going to be awesome to watch him play. But other than that, it's not, you know, I'm not, like, looking at the offense and defense matching up and, you know, saying, like, this is where I think the Packers will be successful this week. Just because I don't know. I don't think anybody can say for sure that they know that Aaron Rodgers is going to play well, or, you know, that the running game is going to do what it did last week. And maybe it will, but that defense is actually decent against the run. So again, who knows?
All right. Well, it's time to move into the big game portion of the show, Fantasy Pick'em, where last week it was a very close one, but Jeremy managed to pull it out. So he will get the 30 seconds of glory toward the end of the show, which upsets me more than anybody, I assure you. Darn you, Dez Bryant. So, that said, Jay was filling in for Chris last week, and his team did not do, I think the technical term is, well. So Chris will be picking first this week, and then I will be picking second. Jeremy's got the turn. So Chris, we need to knock Jeremy off for a few weeks in a row here. So it's you and me. It's you and me, man. We got this.
All right. So I have not. So I have a confession. I have Aaron Rodgers on one of my actual fantasy teams, and I have not started him in the last 6 weeks, and I've been right. It helps to have Carson Palmer as your quote unquote backup. But
true.
This week against this secondary, in real fantasy, I'm still not starting him, but in this game, I am picking Aaron Rodgers first.
Nice.
Yeah, that was the longest explanation for the easiest pick ever made. So
pretty much. I think you pretty much won the game this week with that pick because I feel like Rodgers could go off.
Yeah,
it's a tough call as to where I'm going to go with the next pick. But I got to go with our good buddy Cheeseburger. I'm going to go Eddie Lacy with the second pick. Just hope he has another awesome game. And I think it's fairly possible. So I'm going with Lacy.
I am very tempted to pick Richard Rodgers here. Just really, it is really tempting, but
it is.
Give in. Drink the Kool-Aid.
I'm going to go with Randall Cobb. As long as he's not on Babbo's team, he should have a good day. And then as far as the Raiders go, I want to pick Michael Crabtree because of the touchdowns. He's leading the team in touchdowns. He's got 7. I can't necessarily pick over Amari Cooper. So instead of either of those guys, I'm going to go with Latavius Murray.
Ooh. Interesting choice there.
Yeah.
Man, it actually leaves me with 2 Raiders that I would like to pick. And I didn't think I was going to have the option of both. I have to take Derek Carr because I can't let Chris have 2 quarterbacks. You're going to take, though.
I thought you guys were going to take Amari Cooper and Derek Carr. And if you had, I would have taken the first kicker in the history of fantasy pick'em. But I'll take Amari Cooper.
Hey, don't sleep on Latavius Murray. I really actually like Latavius
I just want to pick Sebastian Janikowski because he is my height, my weight, and my age. And I love that.
Fun fact.
All right, he's a year younger than me. But other than that, we're pretty much spot on.
There you go.
He is a beefy kicker.
What are you saying about me, huh?
Nothing. You're just a normal guy. You can be whatever you want to be.
You were also a first-round pick. Not the NFL, but, you know, for this show, you'd be a first-round pick. All righty.
I'm really not sure how that works out, but, no. Yeah. When is the Titletown Sound draft? When is that?
That's the worst event ever.
Pretty much.
Let's stretch it out to be 3 days, just like the NFL, you know?
Just going to be us sitting on a couch, eating cheeseburgers and drinking Surge.
Yes.
And it's going to be amazing for us. Anyway, and it'll be on ESPN2, by the way. Anyway, time for true false. And all of the above statements that we just made are probably false, safe bets. And that said, we actually did pretty well last week. Chris chimed in and said that he was basically going with the picks that Jay made, which was a good choice because Jay was 5-0 on his picks, 5-for-5 last week.
So we rejected Jeremy that idea.
Yes. Jeremy and I actually did pretty well. We got 3 out of 5. So we more or less maintained. We're kind of altering the scores a little bit since Chris wasn't here.
So basically what they're doing is because they don't believe that I would have picked the same as Jay, they're giving me 3 out of 5 as well, which yeah. I hate to say is fair, but it is.
Yes. Well, and by we, he means Jeremy because Jeremy was.
Baba wanted to give him nothing, but that's just because Baba's having such a terrible year that he'll do anything to catch up.
Chris would be winning regardless. I think Chris is just going to be running off with touchdowns like Eddie Lacy running after that steak I was talking about earlier. I'm so hungry right now. All right, true false number 1 for the upcoming Packers Raiders game. Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 265 yards. Right now he's averaging over 244 passing yards per game. Oakland is 28th in the league against the pass, allowing 271.5 passing yards per game. So, Jeremy, Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 265 yards, true or false?
Go, Pack, go! That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The green and gold glasses are back this week. I'm going to stay on my road of Homer as the Packers are on a winning streak with this going on, so I might as well keep with it. I'm going to say he passes that. I'm going to say he actually hits 300 yards this week. Yep, I said it, and it's going to happen. The offensive line is blocking really well. I think they're going to give him the time, at least they did last week. I think they're going to give him the time to make the throws that he needs to make. He's going to hit 300 yards, so true.
I will say true as well. I mean, I think, like you said, the offensive line is playing better. You know, to say that J.C. Treader hasn't been a fantastic, you know, replacement in the, on this offensive line would be ludicrous. They're playing pretty well, and I think he'll go over.
I have to agree as well. I think Rodgers could be in for a very big week. I could be completely wrong, as I usually am in these things, but we'll hope for the best on that. True, false. Number two, the Packers record at least two sacks. Oakland Raiders have allowed, Oakland Raiders have allowed 21 sacks this year. Green Bay has 35 sacks as a defensive unit. So quite the disparity there, 21 to 35. So, Jeremy, the Packers record at least two sacks, true or false?
I'm going to say true. I'm going to say they get three sacks.
All right.
I am going to say true. Did you see the sack where Clay Matthews basically turned Matt Cassel's ribs to dust last week? That's going to happen a couple of times.
Yes.
I'm convinced that when Clay comes in at a quarterback like that, he is going to drive the guy's chest cavity back about 7 yards, and the rest of his body is just going to crumble to the ground. I get tense every time I see that, just because I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrible.
This will be the first time I witness a murder.
It's good. Oh, man, I'm excited and terrified at the same time. It's that weird feeling. All right, I'm going to say false. Actually, Oakland's offensive line's been pretty good, pretty stingy about allowing sacks. So I will say false and disagree with you guys, because that makes things exciting. True, false. Number three, Derek Carr passes for at least 260 yards. Right now he's averaging about 255 per game. Green Bay's pass defense is allowing 233.8 passing yards per game. That is 11th best in the league. Jeremy, Derek Carr passes for at least 160 yards, true or false?
I'm going to say false. With the pass rush being there this week, which they were absent last week, which was frustrating to watch, but made sense because the Cowboys line is as good as they are. But with the pass rush finally coming back and Mike Daniels with his big new shiny contract, creating pressure up the middle and throwing people around like ragdolls, it's going to be really scary, and he's not going to throw for 260 yards, so false.
False. I will offer no analysis, but I'll say false.
Good.
Fair enough. I'm going to say true, mostly because I think this game could get – I really hope it gets kind of ugly quickly, but I think the Raiders could be doing quite a bit of passing, so I'll give Derek Carr like 161 passing yards, something like that. I will disagree with you guys again on that one. True, false. Number four, Khalil Mack records a sack. We mentioned earlier he has 14 sacks this season, leads the NFL, I believe, averaging more than one sack per game, but five of those sacks came last week against Denver. So, Jeremy, Khalil Mack records a sack, true or false?
Zero sacks for Khalil Mack this week. He's going to go from five sacks against Denver to zero against Green Bay. We will not be seeing any Khalil Mack getting to the quarterback this week.
My glasses are not as green and gold. He will get at least a sack.
All right. I'm going to say false as well. Again, really good linebacker. I'm not sure he'll come up with a sack. I think the Raiders might come up with a sack or two, but I will go pessimistic on Mack. True, false. Number five, Randall Cobb leads the Packers in receptions. He had eight last week, leading receiver. The next closest receivers were James Jones and James Starks, who had four apiece. So Cobb was definitely the favored receiver. So the question again, Jeremy, Randall Cobb leads the Packers in receptions, true or false?
It's true. And I feel like this is almost a gimme. Like, Mike McCarthy showed last week that as far as the passing game goes, he's going to build around Randall Cobb. I think that continues on this week. No reason to believe that it won't.
there is a reason to believe that it won't, because it's false, because Richard Rodgers is going to explode, not literally, that would be disturbing, but figuratively, and he's just gonna have a day. He's gonna be open all day in the middle, and he's gonna go crazy.
You're really only saying that because I have Randall Cobb in fantasy. That's it.
Part of the reason, and it's just the narrative I've been running with this whole show, so I got to stick with it.
I'm glad you specified, Chris, that a player exploding on the field would be a bad thing, because I was thinking it would be really cool until you said that.
If Greg Hardy exploded, that would be okay.
Yeah. I was actually going to say true for this initially, but I changed my answer to false. If I remember correctly, Randall Cobb, at one point, we thought he was be going to Oakland. And I kind of feel like the Raiders want to make sure that he does not have a really good game against them. So I think they might focus their efforts a little bit there. So
maybe because he's like the best receiver.
That too.
No. Bobo's story has more drama. Okay. You can tell Bobo's a wrestling fan because every story has to have a little bit of drama in it. There's got to be a storyline. There's got to be a dramatic storyline.
And then Dean Ambrose will come in and put Khalil Mack through a table.
That would be enjoyable to watch.
That would be kind of nutty and awesome. All right, it's I guess we got to go through this 30 seconds of glory where Jeremy gets to say something. You've got something planned, right, Jeremy?
Nope, I don't. I'm waiting.
Okay, that's all right. I'm going to buy you a couple seconds here because I do want to note for 30 seconds of glory, nothing that is about to be said in any way, shape, or form represents the beliefs or thoughts of anyone associated with TitletownSoundoff.com except for Jeremy Vanderlinden himself. Don't blame us for what's about to happen. Okay, Jeremy, go ahead.
Alrighty, so I get my 30 seconds, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take this time to love on the Green Bay Packers. Listen, it's been an up-and-down season. And yeah, it's been frustrating, and you've spent a lot of time wrapped up in your Snuggie, wiping your tears away. I understand it's been an emotional year, but the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl this season. And let me tell you why. Because I said so. Because Jeremy Vanderlinden is the all-knowing Titletown Sound Packer guy, and I don't know where else to go with this. But I'll say this. As long as number 12 is healthy, I'm confident that things could be turned around. And if you're not confident that with number 12 things can be turned around and improved, well, you just haven't really been watching. The guy's a freak, and it's still there. It's all in front of him. It's all in front of the offense. Production will continue to increase. The Packers will improve. By the playoffs, they will be clicking along and make their way into the Super Bowl for another Lombardi Trophy. They're going to bring it home, folks.
Can we cut Jeremy off? Yeah, no more screwdrivers for him.
What do you mean? Oh, hey, look, I'm just saying, you said that it in no way reflects anything of any of the thoughts of the Titletown Sound people, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, you got to believe Packers have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not just saying that as a super homer fan, which I have gone the homer route, which I have clearly stated. I'm going to stick to that as long as the Packers are winning. But the Packers have a shot because look at the competition. I mean, You got to give Arizona credit. Carson Palmer has completely reborn. Their defense is really good. Great. The Panthers, you got to give them the credit they deserve. They're undefeated, and they are actually a very good team. However, I would argue that the Green Bay Packers have the same chance to beat the Carolina Panthers as they did when they played in Carolina the first time this season. So look at the competition in the NFC. The Cardinals are really good. You could probably say they're better than the Packers this year.
The Cardinals lose to the Eagles this weekend. Book it.
Oh my gosh. I hope you're right. That'd be hilarious. But I'm just saying the Cardinals are a really good football team. And you can argue, and you're probably right, that they're better than the Green Bay Packers this year. But that doesn't matter. The competition otherwise, it's not really there. Are you concerned about the Vikings competing with them in the playoffs? No. Are you concerned if you have to play anyone from the NFC East in the playoffs? No. Are you concerned about the Seattle Seahawks? No, I'm not concerned about the Seattle Seahawks. The Packers beat them to start the season. They beat the snot out of them in the NFC Championship last year. And yes, the Green Bay Packers have been quite confusing this year, but the competition in the NFC is so weak, I believe they still have a very good shot to win the Super Bowl. And you Packer fans out there, you should believe too.
This 8 minutes of glory has been brought to you by Jeremy Vanderlinden.
I have to admit, this was all my fault. I should have not listened when Jeremy was talking. That was completely my fault.
I blame you too.
Fair enough. I'm used to it. Time for predictions. The Green Bay Packers taking on the Oakland Raiders. Raiders in at 6-7, kind of an up and down season. Actually, very much of an up and down season. It's not kind of a six, whatever. I lost track of what I was saying. Jeremy, you talk now.
Alrighty. Good. That was good, Babo. That was really good.
Thank you.
So, I think the Packers are going to have a heck of a day. I think they beat the Raiders and it's a comfortable win. I'm not going to say they're going to go crazy, but I'm going to say they score 31-14.
Packers. Wow, that's pretty crazy. I think it's going to be closer than that. I think it's going to be a tough game. It's on the road. Any road game in the NFL is not an easy game. I think the Packers do win, however. We'll say 27-21.
All right. I am going to go ahead and say that the Packers have a fairly comfortable win. Fairly comfortable. 37-14 is going to be my prediction. I think I got a little bit more in the point department for Green Bay.
Wow.
So that's just what I think there.
Yeah, 37-14. That's slightly comfortable.
Slightly.
So that's pretty darn good. That's like California King comfortable, okay? That's good.
No idea what that means, but all right.
California King, it's a mattress size, you know, the biggest possible mattress size for a normal human to buy.
I sleep in a dank cave every night, so I don't know what you're talking about.
That's true. All right, so that is the show. That is. Wait, no, Chris, you still got to do yours? No, you did it. Okay, so predictions what? Are done. Yay!
I'm so confused.
You did your prediction already.
I did.
Yes.
I stopped listening. After I stopped talking, I sat back in my chair, and I just daydreamed about how amazing this game is going to be. So I'm gonna keep riding the homer train as long as the Packers are winning. This is where I will be. You can pretty much, as long as the Packers keep winning, you can pretty much nail down my prediction every week. So thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for listening to Titletown Sound, episode 63. It's been a good time, guys. It's been great. Babo.
Yes.
Do you have anything to say?
I would like to make sure we get our Twitter handles in first. I'm at That's Our Babo on Twitter.
Okay. I am at TTSO _ Jeremy.
I am at TTSO _ Chris.
All right. And Babo, with that being said now, do you have anything to say?
I have two things I would like to say. First of all, I have a Twitter poll up right now. I would love our listeners to go and check out. The question is, who is fatter? It's sort of a baseball versus football thing. Who is fatter, the New York Mets' big fat Bartolo Colon or the Packers' Eddie Cheeseburger Lacy? Mm. And I would like everybody's input on that. I think it's kind of a slam dunk myself. I don't want to spoil it. I'm going to wait until the poll's all done.
Slam dunkers. Nice.
Slam. I'm mixing in the basketball team, man. I'm all over the place. And I'm kind of a mess at the moment, so that's kind of how that's working. But I also want to say, ladies and gentlemen, in all sincerity, don't forget to pet your cat.
Alrighty.
Have you by any chance lost your kitty?
All right, Chris, you got anything to say to end the podcast?
Do. So in all seriousness, obviously, my family went through a bit of a tragedy this week. I put a story up on Titletown Sound Off if you guys are interested in looking at it. I want to thank everybody who read it. It really was very therapeutic for me to write. And I had more people reach out to me on Twitter, on Facebook, than I can count. A lot of them because they read the story on the site. People who don't know me from Adam, but really reached out and seemed to care. So I want to thank everybody. You guys know who you are. Thank you very much. And with that serious stuff out of the way, good night, Prince Janis.
Night, Prince Janis. I want to thank all the Facebook pages who didn't take your post down. All right. Thank you for listening to Titletown Sound. Thank you for having a heart and actually caring. about humanity and not deleting posts off Facebook. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and putting up with our crazy shenanigans and listening to Babo's craziness and stupidity. Hopefully next week I'll get to talk to you for another 30 seconds / 8 minutes. Whatever comes your way is what it will be. And check TitletownSoundoff.com. The breakdown should be up very soon. We have other articles coming up getting you to get you ready for the
game.
And
we,
singing has started. So that's happening, this terrible thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to sign off. Thanks for listening. We will bring you another podcast next week.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.